Day 418, Thursday, May 23rd, 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17 1-24 NKJV. And Elijah the Tishbite, of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward, and hide by the brook Kerith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Kerith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup, that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar, and see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it, and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear, go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first, and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick, and his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance, and to kill my son?" And he said to her, "Give me your son." So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge, by killing her son?" And he stretched himself out on the child three times, and cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him." Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house, and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." Daily Deep Dive, the UCG reading plan states, the great prophet Elijah is now introduced. Halley's Bible Handbook states, 6 chapters are given to Ahab's reign, while most of the kings have only a part of one chapter. The reason, it is largely the story of Elijah. Elijah's rare, sudden and brief appearances, his undaunted courage and fiery zeal, the brilliance of his triumphs, the pathos of his despondency, the glory of his departure, and the calm beauty of his reappearance, in a vision, on the Mount of Transfiguration, make him one of the grandest characters Israel ever produced, 1965. Note on 1 Kings 17. It is noteworthy that only two prophets appeared in the vision with Jesus in the Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah, Matthew 17 1-9. Elijah's ministry would be the pattern for later important ministries. Elijah's successor, Elisha, received Elijah's mantle with a mandate to carry on the same type of ministry, even completing some of the tasks given to Elijah. John the Baptist went before Jesus Christ in the spirit and power of Elijah, Luke 1:17. The rest of Luke 1:17 adds further understanding of the overall perspective of the original ministry of Elijah. And in Malachi 4:5, God says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Apparently, John the Baptist was the forerunner of an end-time Elijah figure, who would preach in the spirit and power of Elijah to prepare the way for Christ's second coming. Compare Matthew 17:10-12. In marrying Jezebel and accommodating her religion, Ahab allowed Baal worship to be reintroduced in a big way into Israel. 1 Kings 16:31-33. Prior to this time, the kingdom of Israel's apostasy had apparently been confined to the sin of Jeroboam son of Nebat, who built the golden calves and established new worship centers in Dan and Bethel. Near the end of the wilderness wanderings under Moses, there had been a brief encounter with Baal of Peor in connection with the Balaam incident. Numbers 25:3-9. Compare Revelation 2:14. And some Baal and Ashtoreth worship had taken place in the rather disorganized period of the Judges. Judges 2:11-19. Judges 3:7. Judges 6:25-32. Judges 8:33. Judges 10:6-16. 1 Samuel 7:3-4. 1 Samuel 12:9-11. Solomon had built altars to various pagan deities, some of which were equated at times with Baal, 1 Kings 11:1-8. But since the days of Samuel, through the period of the kings up until Ahab, about 200 years, there is no specific mention of Israelite Baal worship taking place. Now, however, Jezebel not only brings in Baal worship but attempts to destroy all of the prophets of God, 100 of whom are protected by the God-fearing governor of Ahab's house, as we will see in our next reading, 1 Kings 18:3-4. So God sends one of the most famous prophets of the Bible, Elijah, to pronounce judgment on Ahab, beginning with a 3.5-year drought, Luke 4:25, James 5:17-18, and its resulting famine. The drought was apparently a forerunner and type of a future drought referred to in the book of Revelation, Revelation 11:3, Revelation 11:6. However, the end-time drought will be much greater in scope, as the dire events preceding Christ's return will be worse than any that have ever happened, Matthew 24:21. Amazingly, in the growing sparseness of the land, God wonderfully provides for his servant via special delivery from the birds of the air. Ironically, Zarephath, Elijah's place of refuge during the latter years of the drought, where God miraculously provides for the widow and her son who take him in, was in the region of Sidon, see Luke 4:26, the same territory that Jezebel came from. 1 Kings 16:31. God's provision through the multiple miracles we see here should encourage our faith. He can take care of our needs even when it looks like it's impossible to meet them. See Matthew 6:25-34. And, verse 21, the NKJV says, "Let this child's soul come back to him." This word for soul is the Hebrew nephesh used in Genesis 1:21 as living creatures and in Genesis 1:30 as life. It has nothing to do with an immortal soul, and he's simply praying that the child's life come back to him.